Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
Those are circuses on the air.
When the president does it,
sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke, may the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
History this week. 1874, the first U.S. zoo opened. You know what city that was? The first U.S.
zoo?
1874. Public zoo.
Oh, probably the Lincoln Park Zoo here.
But where was it in the nation? Where in America?
Probably Central Park.
It was Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia.
It was the first official U.S. zoo, and that was in 1874. 1881, U.S. President James Garfield. What happened to him in 1881?
He was shot.
He was shot by a disappointed office seeker.
He was in office for, what, 5-6 months? Not even that.
Yeah.
One of the shortest presidencies that we've had in this country.
Charles J. Guiteau,
right,
was the guy.
Right, a very disgruntled person. I believe Garfield was shot in a railroad station.
Wow.
Now, you know what's eerie, Dave?
What's that?
Is that Abraham Lincoln's son, Robert, was present around there. And he was around at the time of William McKinley's shooting in New York.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. And they asked him to be present. They asked Robert Lincoln to be present later at some sort of presidential function. He said, I don't think I should go.
Yeah, I'm not going. Yeah, holy cow. Yeah,
think about that. Yeah. That is weird.
That is weird. That is absolutely weird. 1910, Chicago's Comiskey Park opened up. Originally, St. Louis Browns beat the White Sox 2-0.
White Sox, go!
Think about that. So it's your first game in your brand new stadium. You got to win.
Sure you do.
You got to make it happen. Not that day.
Well, did the Cubs win the first night game?
No, they did not. Don't bring that up. But you're absolutely right. It's kind of a letdown.
Don't bring that up.
But it's kind of it's one of those things where your expectations are so high going into
absolutely.
A game, and of course it doesn't happen. 1925, and this is a good one. And we've talked about this before. There's all this talk about California splitting up into three states. Have you read a little bit about that?
A little bit, yes.
So California,
Southern
California.
They've been talking about that off and on for years, though.
Yeah, this seems a little bit more real. It's going to be on the ballot and all this other stuff. I don't think it's going to happen. But in 1925, the city of Chicago was in talks to secede from the state of Illinois to form the state of Chicago. According to the Illinois Constitution, legislative districts had to be redrawn every 10 years. And this year, city aldermen demanded that Chicago had earned the right to have 5 more state senators and 15 more state reps. Since the legislature downstate didn't want to give Chicago any more power, the only solution was to secede from the state. The proposed state would have included all of Cook County, with over 3 million people at the time. Knowing it would get little support from the downstate legislatures, the proposal was later withdrawn. But it was submitted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of here.
Yep. They wanted to do that. I know George Pullman wanted Pullman, Illinois, not Chicago, Illinois, and the city said no.
Yeah. There's a few of those.
Yes, there are.
A few of those denials, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
1929, U.S. cartoonist Elsie Seeger creates Popeye. And I kind of remember very early on That was probably one of the first cartoons I watched on television in black and white and color.
I remember the Popeye cartoons in black and white and color. Elsie Seeger was from, I'm drawing a blank, Southern Illinois somewhere. And they have a Popeye festival down there every year.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm trying to think what channel I watched Popeye on. It was probably back then.
For you, maybe 32. It was a channel.
It was 32. It was 32. But I wonder if Ray Rayner played Popeye at one point.
He might have.
I might have caught
it. There was another kids show, Dave, on Channel 2 on CBS that was kind of opposite Ray Rayner, and it followed Captain Kangaroo.
Okay.
And I'm going back early 60s now. But they would show Popeye cartoons.
That's cool. That's cool. 1932, the Democratic National Convention was held in Chicago at the old Chicago Stadium. After 3 years of deep depression, the Democrats nominated FDR. Of course, that was in 1932. 38, the first Superman comic, Action Comics series, issue number one debuted. 1941, Bulova Watch paid, I'll ask you the question. It was the first ever network TV commercial. Bulova Watch, how much did they pay for that 60-second spot?
Not a lot of money.
Probably. $9. $9. Well, there's not a lot of people at the time that actually had televisions. To begin with, here's a little
bit.
Boy,
that cost one up in a hurry, didn't it?
Right. No, it did. The video to the commercial still exists. The audio does not. But here's a classic commercial from the 1940s still of Bulova Watch. Let's take a little listen.
Can a watch survive the Niagara Falls test? Attached to this heavily weighted ball, can this watch take the full impact of the rocks and rapids? It's going over. Watch it. Down into that raging torrent, buffeted and jolted by the force of that terrific current. And here it is, still ticking away, the world's greatest watch value.
I'm Lyle Vann. I'm a newscaster, and I covered this night.
Oh, Lyle Vann doing commercials. Wouldn't allow that today.
The 17-jewel Bulova Clipper, handsome, rugged.
Yeah, pretty cool. 1955, Johnny Carson made his first really national debut on television. It was on CBS. It was called The Johnny Carson Show. So this is long before Who Do You Trust, which was on ABC with Ed McMahon, which was a game show before The Tonight Show. And, of course, The Tonight Show premiered with Johnny in 62. Here's just a little audio from Johnny's first show in 1955.
The Johnny Carson Show, starring Johnny Carson.
What a coincidence.
This is your announcer speaking.
Yeah. What it sounds like.
Thank you very much and good evening. I'm Johnny Carson. Now, the reason I say that each week is because my kids love to stay up and watch television. So every Thursday night, my wife turns on the set. I come out, I say, hello, I'm Johnny Carson. My kids say, oh, it's only Daddy, let's go to bed. Night, kids. That takes care of them. And now that it's just between the adults, we've been on for about 2.5, 3 months now with this show. And it's amazing how things pile up on you, that you let go and you make little notes to yourself and you forget little things. So I have quite a bit of business tonight, little odds and ends I'd like to take care of. So could we have my secretary bring out the unfinished business, please?
Very, very inspired by the Jack Benny show. That's kind of what this show was all about.
Well, Jack Benny was his idol.
He was his idol. That's exactly right. 1956, and this is pretty cool. NBC Steve Allen show was capitalizing on the... Elvis Presley's recent version of Hound Dog, which was done on the Milton Berle show. So he made an appearance on the Milton Berle show, and I guess because he was in a tuxedo and really clean cut and so forth, Elvis absolutely exploded that he had to show up on the Milton Berle show looking so clean cut and everything, because, you know, he was a little more confrontational the way he danced and so forth on television. And this is actually even before he appeared on Ed Sullivan. He went on the Steve Allen show, and he brought out an actual basset hound perched on a stool for Elvis to sing to. Another thing that pissed Elvis off.
Oh, yeah.
Colonel, right. the Colonel, what was his name? His manager.
Well, the Colonel.
Yeah, the Colonel.
The Colonel.
Yeah, yeah. He was ticked off that the Colonel agreed to the stunt, but let's take a little listen to this.
And that was with the great vocal group, the George Mayers, in the background. Elvis, your new record hit, I predict it's going to be one because I've heard you rehearse it. You're going to record it tomorrow, called Hound Dog. I got you a very cute little hound dog right here. And away you go. Who's that? Here it is.
but a hound dog could cry all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog could cry all the time. Well, you ain't never gonna rather hand your hand, old friend of mine. Well, I said you was high class.
So even though he sounded good, the next day fans protested the show, demanding to see the real Elvis. Like, you cleaned him up too much. Like, we're not going to watch this again.
Steve Allen did not like rock and roll.
No,
and
not a fan.
So he was, you know, maybe that was a little bit of a slap in the face. There was a documentary, and I enjoyed it. It was on HBO not long ago about Elvis, and they pointed all of this out. And Elvis never went on with Steve Allen again.
No, he was ticked. 1959, the Plan 9 from Outer Space movie, one of the worst films
My favorite
ever.
Movie.
Oh, yeah, no, it was not. Oh, man, that was a tough movie to watch.
It is safe to state that the grandchildren of some of the people in this theater will not be born on Earth. Come from the bowels of hell, a transformed race of walking dead, zombies guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth. Plan 9 from Outer Space. Starring the most nightmarish cast ever, Bela Lugosi, the seductive Vampira, and Tor Johnson as the walking dead.
Turn off your electro gun! No! Stop him, Dennis!
I can't get it, it's jammed!
Stop him, you fool!
Bullets bounce off their bodies. Rockets, missiles, jets cannot stop their death ships. What earthly power can stop this terror? For a glimpse of things to come, see this blast of screen suspense. For it could be happening right now.
And then 2009, Michael Jackson's untimely death a week earlier sends all his albums, all of them, back into the Billboard Top 10, including at number 5, the Jackson 5's Ultimate Collection. But the week he died, every album that he ever did went up into the Top 10.
Michael Jackson liked to call himself the King of Pop, and in his heyday, it was no exaggeration. He could sing, and boy, could he dance. Jackson performed his famous moonwalk for the first time on Motown's 25th anniversary special. He had been perfecting his act since the age of 5, when he would sing with his brothers in clubs around their hometown, Gary, Indiana. The Jackson 5 soon came to the attention of Motown's Berry Gordy. The rest, as they say, is history. The Jackson 5 consistently topped the charts in the 60s and 70s. They appeared on The Ed Sullivan Show and opened for Diana Ross and the Supremes. Michael eventually would go on to a solo career and superstardom, producing hit after hit. Thriller won 8 Grammy Awards and holds the record for best-selling album of all time. In the video, his image morphed, and so did it in reality. In the song Black and White, Jackson seemed to tease the audience about the color of his skin. Over the years, Jackson's skin became lighter. He said it was from a disorder that destroyed the pigmentation of his skin. And his features changed, although he claimed to have had only 2 surgeries on his nose to help him sing better. While his popularity waned at home, he remained a hit overseas. In 1994, he surprised the world, marrying Elvis Presley's daughter, Lisa. They divorced after less than 2 years of marriage. Months later, he announced that Debbie Rowe was expecting the first of their 2 children. They married but never lived together and eventually divorced. Increasingly, it was Jackson's bizarre behavior, not his music, that drew headlines. In 2002, he dangled his 9-month-old son from the balcony of a German hotel. A couple of years later, Jackson gave an impromptu performance outside a California court where he was charged with molesting a 13-year-old boy. and one day arrived at trial wearing pajamas. He ultimately was acquitted and left the country. In interviews, Jackson talked about the price of superstardom, about how lonely it was. He said, "It hurts to be me.